On our morning show from WRCO, Michelle Reinen is back to talk about all the great things that DadCap has and does, and they are protecting us every day, 24/7. Michelle, how are you doing in March?
We're doing great. We have a couple of celebrations at the beginning of this month here where we kick off the month strong with our National Weights and Measures Week as well as National Consumer Protection Week. So we try and recognize those two programs and the work and resources available through both.
Okay. Well, maybe you could talk about some of the resources available for them.
Yeah, well, as it relates to National Weights and Measures Week, this is recognized March 1 through 7 of every year. And, you know, it started way back in time in 1799 where the first U.S. Weights and Measures Law was signed. But it's just a period of time where we try and recognize the work done and the essential role in protecting the fairness of commerce in Wisconsin. And thanks to regular inspections of measurement devices consumers rely on every day, you can be confident that you get what you pay for when buying a gallon of gas, a pound of meat or produce, and even, you know, precious metals. So in 2023, Weights and Measures staff conducted over 226,000 inspections at over 5,500 businesses located in our state. And from those inspections and the results of those inspections, we get what are called consumer confidence scores or those measurements of accuracy. So for motor vehicle fuel pumps, we saw a 99.6% accuracy rating. So consumers can be very confident when pumping that gallon of gasoline. Scales used to sell products by weight were 99.6% accurate. Packaged products sold by weight were 98.6% in their accuracy. And then electronic price scanners at checkouts that we're all so familiar with and maybe even check out our own goods now are again at 96.8% accuracy. So you can feel good about the purchases that you're making and that you're getting what you pay for.
Let's talk a little bit about National Consumer Protection Week and how we can protect ourselves best, Michelle.
Yeah, so this week is recognized March 3 through 9 this year, and it, again, is celebrating, promoting consumer protection, and we're doing that by just trying to remind people of resources that they have available to them through our agency to, you know, refresh a memory on something or maybe learn a new law that's in place. We, this last year, worked really hard to update our Spanish language resources, so we now have available on our website over 150 consumer protection web pages and fact sheets in Spanish language, so they mirror our English, and this is anything from our consumer guide and our landlord-tenant guide. We are starting this month, later in the month, a consumer protection newsletter that'll be issued quarterly. So Wisconsin Consumer News, so now's the opportunity for people to go to the website at datcp.wi.gov so they can sign up for this newsletter. And we're going to highlight the scam spotlight of every quarter, some consumer tips, upcoming consumer protection presentations that may be in your area, and other information and initiatives that we have going on to try and stay in touch with consumers on a regular basis. And then, of course, there's always information on our website to remind you about your personal practices. And this could be from keeping your documents and records to putting that security freeze on your identity. So go to our website and learn more about those opportunities that you have.
I know you're supposed to report any unsuccessful or successful fraud attempts. Actually, my wife, Michelle, just recently got an email, and it looked like the U.S. Post Office. She's expecting a package, and she was told that there was a delay in it, and they needed more money or more postage or whatever, and it turns out that was a good old scam right there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's going to probably be a feature at some point in our newsletter as we see it spike, but that is a very common scam in our state, and I'm so glad that she was aware of that, and then if she took the opportunity to report it to Consumer Protection so we can track what is at its highest peak in circulating versus at its regular, boy, it just pesters people and we hope no one falls victim to it too. They are kind of attacking us in this time of season situation. So it's so important to hear from consumers. You're absolutely right. We hope you go to our website and report and file those complaints with us. Again, that's datcp.wi.gov.
Lots of spring breaks coming up, Michelle, and lots of families and college students and whatnot are traveling this time of year. What are some good ways to avoid some scams or losing some money through those deals?
Yeah, this year we wanted to talk about not booking the vacation so much because that's probably already done, but it's getting ready for the vacation because we all know how to pack the bag, but are we ready in the other sense of the word? Have you verified your arrangements before your trip begins? Call the businesses where you have reservations to confirm they're ready for your visit. This will allow you to catch any mistakes early, verify that the location exists, that they have your reservation so you aren't sitting there frustrated at the check-in counter, maybe, you know, after a delayed flight and late at night and all you want to do is you know, bundle up for the evening. The other thing to do is ask about mandatory resort fees. These are those extra charges added on to your room fee, which can unexpectedly increase the cost of your stay, and you can find out about them as late as checkout when you're analyzing your bill. But ask about these additional fees before your trip so you can understand the full cost of your lodging. You may see them as resort fees, maybe pool or spa fees, but if you're not going to be using those services, try and see if you can get them removed from your reservation so you don't have them, because they can add up pretty quickly over the course of a week. Get all your details in writing. That's a regular consumer protection tip, and that might mean taking screenshots of the computer screen or just a PDF and storing it in your phone so you have them with you if you need to dispute something on site. Put that mail on hold in advance of leaving so you can test that it's actually been stopped, and if not, have a trusted source help verify that, so things like bank account numbers aren't sitting in your box collecting while you're away. Clean out that wallet to be sure that you aren't taking unnecessary cards and documents like your Social Security card with you on the trip. And then one of the best tips we have for people is use your credit card when you are traveling to be sure that you have the opportunity to dispute any charges or services that weren't delivered as promised with the credit card company, and you can follow up that way and also be protected from any fraud, versus if you're using a debit card, you may have that connected directly to your bank account and have less protections.
Sure, they could clean out the bank account pretty quickly then if they got a hold of your debit card number then.
Absolutely. And depending upon what kind of overdraft protection you have, they may clean it out even deeper. And it'll be much harder to dispute those types of charges because it's actual money that's disappearing as opposed to that credit money where you are paying it after the expense.
What about rental properties? Some things that we should be aware of there, Michelle?
Oh, yeah. Here, if you're booking a private rental property through an online marketplace or maybe using a platform like an Airbnb or a Vrbo, be aware of scammers who post those appealing but fake listings to entice vacationers. And maybe you haven't planned your vacation yet. You're going to be doing a last-minute one. But we want to be sure that everyone is reminded and aware that those scammers are out there trying to post those fake properties. And while platforms may prohibit them from their terms and conditions of use, they're difficult to monitor. So be cautious of listings that could be entirely fictitious or misleading you with images and descriptions. You want to be sure that you are not moving from the host site to make payment, that you are verifying addresses actually exist and have properties on them, maybe using a Google Maps as a tool to use. And you want to also do that research to see if there's duplicate postings about the same property that may have different descriptions on them. All those could be flags that it's a scam posting as opposed to a legitimate posting.
Well, it is tax time, and some of us get refunds. What are some things that we should watch out there when we're doing our taxes and looking for those refunds?
Yeah, there's a new twist to a scam going around as it relates to tax identity theft. And so scammers, we know, can use your personal information like a social security number to commit identity theft and try and steal your tax refund by filing first. But now there's also scam circulating where the IRS is being impersonated, and it looks like the IRS is sending emails and texts about your tax refund, or the other terms we see used are tax refund e-statement. And while these can look legitimate because of how they're being sent, these messages are coming from scammers who are trying to trick you into clicking on these dangerous links because they want to steal your identity or try and put malware onto your phone or computer. So the messages commonly ask you to fill out an official looking form before you can receive your refund. And this is how they're getting at your personal information that they need for identity theft. So if someone contacts you unexpectedly about a tax refund, the most important thing to know is that the real IRS and Department of Revenue aren't going to contact you by email, text message, or social media to get your personal and financial information. So just disregard these messages. Do not engage with them. Do not click those links.
So would they call you? Would it be a legitimate call, or is it something you would have placed first for them to call you back?
So the scam is sending you emails and text messages. Now, if the government needs to contact you about your taxes, they are first going to do so by letter and give you contact information. And that is information you can verify through their website to determine that it's legitimate. And then you can make a phone call based on that information in the letter. And the government will also return a phone call if you place one to them using information that you find on their website, their legitimate.gov websites. So always verify the contact information that you're using should you need to follow with the government as it relates to your taxes. But don't respond to these email or text message notifications trying to trick you into engaging with the scammer.
For small businesses, are there some things to be aware of now as we get into the spring or closer to spring anyway?
Yeah, unfortunately, we have a scam circulating right now about fake notices that are being sent to business owners. So in this case, the scammers send these fake forms and letters that look like they are from legitimate businesses, because the letters that are being sent have agencies' names included on them, and they include words like United States, business regulation, and trademark. And they're asking and basically demanding that you make a payment right away. And what happens is the letters are lying and saying that it's time to register or renew a business license or trademark. They're asking you to go to a website for your license, which is fake. There they want your social security number or your EIN number, your employee identification number, and credit card numbers. And usually the letters warn about fines if you don't respond quickly. So again, they're adding that layer of urgency. If you get a letter that looks like it's from the government and demands money or information, just stop, because this could be a scam. And before you do anything, verify that the agency that's referred to in the letter is real. And you can do that by going to USA.gov. And again, that's USA.gov. Here you can verify names and contact information for federal, state, and local government agencies. And we just really encourage everyone to not use the websites or phone numbers listed in the letters that are sent to the small business owners, and inform all your employees of this scam that's circulating out there.
When individuals are doing their taxes, I suppose we need to be careful with, you know, who are we reporting to and making sure we're on the right site to submit our taxes too, right?
Absolutely. You know, be sure that you look at that URL that you've typed in and that you aren't just Googling where you're supposed to send them. Look at your tax forms and really follow the process for any online e-filing if you're not filing by mail.
Okay. Always good stuff, Michelle. We appreciate you joining us here today. Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, if anyone has any questions, please call the Consumer Protection Hotline at 1-800-422-7128. Or again, go to our website at datcp.wi.gov.
Great. Well, we'll talk to you in April then, I guess.
That sounds great.
That is Michelle Ryan, an administrator with DADCAP, joining us for our monthly visit on WRCO's Morning Show.